Salutations and shit, folks. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to another episode of your favorite travel podcast, Travel and Shit, where I, your host, D. Carrie, have an experiential conversation about the nuanced ways that travel intersects with regular life. I always love to take this minute, moments, if you will, right at the top of the show, to expressly remind you guys that you can see not only my beautiful face, but the beautiful face of my guest. The podcast is also available on the YouTubes, and I suggest you tap dance your ways over there if you'd like to see the faces that are attached to these lovely voices. So you've heard the one voice for now, and I'd like to give the alley-oop to my beautiful guest. If you would please introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kimon, the owner and founder of 84 Gem. It's handmade jewelry based out of Brooklyn, New York. It's for the person that likes to stand out, but it's like a quiet kind of like, it's like an understated, well, not understated. I would say that it's more like when you step into the room, it's like your jewelry speaks for yourself. So your jewelry speaks for you. That's kind of the vibe that it gives. And I just want to thank Dee for having me on your show today. Thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to the chat.
And thank you. Thank you so much for joining me today. This was a episode low-key I've been wanting to do for a while. I just had to figure out how to like frame it. I'm like, well, I know accessories because where I was going, right? Sometimes something small leads to larger impact, right? Sometimes a quick little trip or, you know, a little visit someplace can make a really large difference. And boom, boom, same for an accessory. The right earrings, the right bangle, the right necklace. It doesn't take something grandiose or large to make a large impact. And another thing that came across for the vibe for a conversation I would want to have related to it was we all, now when I say we, I always jump to assume that y'all are here, that we're locked in. But I know that I pack certain accessories with certain outfits when I'm traveling, right? So like certain things, not coming out the house. Other things, this isn't staying in the house. Like I would never wear this at home. But baby, in this person's country, this person's absolutely wearing the big, absolutely wearing shit that I probably wouldn't wear at home. So I feel like one of the, like, those are two of the ways in particular that I absolutely wanted to have the accessory conversation, the jewelry conversation. So I'm curious for the listeners, what your personal stance on the jewelries is in your travels. I want to know if you travel and purchase, do you bring your jewelry to show it off? Because I know a lot of places also have in the back of your mind, are you wearing something flashy? Are you wearing something that is very obvious? Are you wearing something that's going to make you a mark? Are you going to be a target because of what you're wearing? So there are so many different pockets of my mind where I can go with jewelry or accessories and travel. So my first question for you, Kimon, though, is there or can you think of the piece of jewelry that had you decide this is where my heart is at? This is where I'm putting my efforts and this is why, or this is my inspiration for wanting to do this for myself.
I think a good statement earring. And I think before I started making jewelry, I've always been into big statement earrings and big rings. So, and then when you're traveling, I feel like a big statement earring is always like a plus. There needs to be at least one pair of good statement earrings just whenever you're going out, even if you're going locally. But if you're traveling, there should be at least one pair of great statement earrings. That's my
Are you a hoops girl or are you a, like, I want to say like a dangle or like just, because not all earrings or all large earrings are hoops. I know one of the things that I tend to shy away from personally now, since I don't have hair, are like the, are dangles. Like things that dangle or like the one, like I used to have a pair. Actually, I do have one pair that does dangle a little. But generally, I stick away from those because I just feel like, I don't know, it just, I have a thing in my head that I'm working through. Do you have a preference for which one you generally are? Are you a hoop girl or just a statement here?
I'm definitely a hoop girl. I'm wearing hoops now. Definitely a hoop girl. I'm not so much a dangle person because for me, it might just be me and being in my head, but because of the shape of my face, I feel like when I wear longer pieces, it makes my face look even longer. So I like hoops or just like a big chunk of just like something gold or something. But like dangle, me personally, I'm not a huge fan, but I like hoops and or a statement, just something really, really big. Especially like or if your hair is like really low, like I love a big statement earring on like really low cut hair. It just like brings it out even more, brings out your face. It calls attention to your face. You know, I think that's like such a good idea.
I think it's also another way to play with your look overall, because to your point, like certain things accentuate different pieces and parts of your physique, your anatomy. It's just like your face is your face is your face. Like it's but so much you're going to do to your face, right? Unless that's your thing. But the right, like a very quiet earring or a louder earring is going to, for me, you know, change the outfit. I know that if I am trying to be, you know, the adult and get like the right outfit, wedding outfits generally, those are the ones I'll do like a really cute stud or like a really small kind of dainty that just calls more attention. So it's like, oh no, we're here. And then we're here, outfit, boom, boom. I feel like sometimes less can lead to more because I feel like you're forced to pay attention to other things. I don't know. That's just the way I consider it. That's where mine goes.
I feel like it depends on the occasion of what you're wearing or the event. Because even me sometimes, like I love statement jewelry, but there's certain things that I'm wearing that I want to like tone it down. Because like you said, you want to call attention to other places, you know? So, or if I'm wearing like a huge statement earring, I might not even do a necklace. I might skip it because it's like, it might be too much. Yeah.
That's one thing. Do you do like sets? Because that's one thing that I feel like I have strayed away from since, like, I know when I was younger, I loved a good set. Had the earrings, the necklace, and if a bracelet came in on a set, super clutch. But now I prefer to buy my pieces separately just because I don't like too much of the match unless I'm like, if I'm wearing a brass necklace, I'd rather wear brass earrings or so, but like exact same pattern kind of look. I don't know. I don't gravitate towards that, but I feel like all those patterns, Ma, I remember you said sometime, I was young and you said something. Oh, I had that. I wore that when I was your age. And I was like, girl, dragging it. No, you didn't. But now that I'm of the bigly age, I get it. You was right. Because all of the stuff that we were wearing in high school, junior high, it's all coming back. So I feel like, you know, the sets may come back. So I won't say here and put my foot in my mouth and say that I wouldn't do a set. But is that something that you have? That do you have? What types of options do you have?
So I'm actually like you when it comes to sets. I'm not a huge fan of sets, but I do give the option on the site. So what I tend to do is I'll create pieces that can be mixed and matched, but then I'll also have earrings and bracelets that match or earrings and necklace that match, but it's not necessarily a set, but you can wear it together.
Right.
Yeah. So I like giving people the option like, oh, you can do this earring and this bracelet together, or you don't have to. But I try to make things mixed and matchable so that you don't have to be so matchy-matchy, but it kind of goes together even though it's not
a family, if you will, right?
Exactly.
Okay. So we mentioned the site. What is the site? Tell the people what it is you do. If you could explain why you are the sought-after talent that you are.
Okay, so the website is 84gem.com. And I've been creating for about 11 to 12 years now. And I create pieces that are their statement, like I was saying before. And they're like that. It's like the person that's like, you walk into the room and you're just like, ooh, where'd she get that from? You know, like your jewelry state, yourself kind of vibe. It's that girl that's just like, you kind of like, you're like, I want to know more about her. You know, like her jewelry is like bomb, you know? So it's that they're like conversation starters as well. So I make like really statement bold, kind of like art for you to wear in a way. So yeah, it's like statement, but it's not like they're not super huge either. They're still kind of like lightweight for the most part. So that's pretty much what the vibe is. And it's like, it's just, it's something that basically like you wear it and someone's going to ask you, where'd you get that? Well, you know, I love your earrings. Like, it's just something that just, you know, calls it, just, you know, you get that attention. So that's pretty much what it is.
Speaking of attention, what was, or what is your personal relationship with travel? Like, were you always, are you a traveler? Did you grow up a traveler? And have, if you were a traveler, if you've done any travels, like, have any of those experiences influenced you as a business person or as a businesswoman in what you decide to do with your company?
So I've always been into travel. I've been, it's just always been a part of me. Like, I always wanted to see some place different, something new. I also get inspiration from travel, and I've actually been a flight attendant for the past 9 years now. Do that part time. Nice. Yeah.
You mentioned, I was just like, what?
Yes. Yes. A lot of people don't know that, because I never knew how to kind of, like, how do I put that together? Like, how do I merge that? Like, how do I even, because it's two completely separate things. So I was like, you know what? I'll just keep it separate, because it's like random to just kind of include certain things like that. But what I'll do the most
in this world, they go together. They're not separate.
It's true. But what I'll do is, like, if I travel, I'll do like a, maybe like an outfit of the day, or this is what I wore while I was in XYZ. I do stuff like that. But yeah, like, travel is definitely a big part. And a lot of times when I go away, I try to, if I can fit it in, I try to have like a day of like exploration where I'm like seeking things that inspire me, or I go to the museum or check out local art, because, you know, inspiration comes anywhere, you know, and if you're traveling, that's like the biggest, that's one of the biggest inspirations for art, you know. So travel definitely inspires me, and I just love to check out local jewelry as well, just to see like the materials that people are using, the shapes that people are using. Like, that's always like really interesting to me.
Do you hand make your jewelry, or do you have it like, is it like, I guess, is that factory produced or mass? Like, how does, what's it considered if it's not handmade?
Oh, yes. Well, yeah, mass produced or produced. Yeah. So I do hand make most of my jewelry. The last 4 to 5 years, I've had some things mass produced. So I would say that I'm still making about 60 to 70% of my jewelry, and then the rest, I'll design it and then I'll have them make it. Okay. So the goal was really to get at least like more than half produced, just for time wise, so that things can get shipped out faster, and that I can create faster. And also that helps like with wholesale orders, so I can ship those things out faster as well. So I'm still hand making, and then I do have things that are mass produced too.
Okay. Do you find that the different regions of the, I was going to start with the regions of the country. Do you do international shipping?
I do. Yeah. Definitely offer that.
So do you find, or I don't even know if it's even a practice of yours, but if it is, do you find that you have to like market different items, or like different, I won't necessarily say styles, but for different areas, right? Like, we're both New Yorkers. So like, as soon as you were given the description of 84 Gem, I'm like, oh no, there's a difference. It is a legit vibe. Like, you could see one person and be like, oh, those are really pretty earrings. But then there's another one be like, oh, she is so fly. And then you realize, oh yeah, I really like her earrings. It's all, and it comes together differently. There is a difference. And so it's when I was reading the About Me section on your website, I'm like, oh no, this is, it felt very like New York coded for some reason to me. And I was just like, oh, like, I totally get it. Like, I get it. I'm here. But I'm wondering if that's going to hit the same in Detroit, or if that is the same in like LA or whatever. Have you done pop-ups like in different areas? Is marketing to different people in different areas, is it different? Have you ever sold in another country? Do your customers from overseas end up asking for, items or designs that people that you sell to, say, stateside, aren't really looking for? Like, are those regional differences something that you see at all?
That's actually a really good question. I haven't felt that I needed to market differently to different cities. And I noticed that a lot of my customers obviously are from the Northeast for obvious reasons. But I also get, I've gotten Texas, Florida, the tri-state, DC area, LA area. And I've also done pop-ups in other cities too. So what I do find when I go outside of New York is that people are saying that they can't find jewelry like that where they are. Like, New York is so oversaturated with so many things. You know, like, it's not that you're going to find the same thing, but you might find something similar. When mm-hmm. you go to other places, you just won't find that. So I haven't felt like I needed to market differently. I find that my pieces have been different enough for other cities where they can't find anything that comes even remotely close. And then in other countries, I've gotten people from the UK. I've gotten Paris, some Latin destinations as well. And I don't see a pattern per se of like the certain types of things that only those people will buy. So, yeah, I really haven't had to market differently. I think marketing the way I've been marketing for, you know, just like in general, has worked all over for the most part. Yeah.
So how has, or how have your travels professionally and personally, because whole side job, and that's a, and that's not exactly like, first of all, respect to travel attendants, especially to those of y'all that have been working in the good Lord's post-pandemic world. people were always a little nutty, but I used to not really mind being at the airport prior. Like, now I hate being at the airport. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, the airport is, it's always been a stressful place, but now it's just like there's an extra layer of stress on it. Mm-hmm. And I know that that translates to the people that have to be there way more than I ever have to be there. So shout out to y'all, because y'all are doing the good Lord's work. And us at Travel and Shit, we got good sense. And so we appreciate the work that you guys do. My mama used to be a flight attendant, so I got special love for y'all. but with your travels, do you find that you have either found like a new source for where you want to receive your materials? Have you ever had to source materials like in person by going someplace else? Like, where do you get your materials, and where do you get the, because also I think people always say, oh yeah, materials. But then there's also like a lot of extra stuff that goes along mm-hmm. with jewelry, like your packaging, your labeling, which you're using to, like how your, I don't know if you make them yourself. I don't know if you also ship and deliver them yourself. Like, some people have like the tape that goes and says like the company brand name or whatever on there. So how has the side hustle, big hustle, and your personal travels influenced that as well?
So believe it or not, I have not sourced in person. That has been on my list of things to do, is just like take a trip, make a vacation out of it, but also spend
I'm speaking that into existence for you.
That would be amazing. That would really be amazing. So I've done everything online, which I don't even know. Mm-hmm. Now I'm thinking about it, I'm like, how? But it's a lot of trial and error. It's just ordering a lot of stuff and then seeing which one works best and, you know, trying it out and looking at the quality and all those things. So I've done that a lot. And I've found places that I've been working with them for years. So I have a place that I've worked with. They're actually in Turkey. I have a place in India. And then I get a lot of my beads from, I use a specific bead in like a lot of my pieces. And those, I get that from West Africa. So it's from all over. And this has been just like online research, like intensive research. And then just ordering, just getting samples. And again, testing it out, we're testing and seeing what works best. So yeah, I'm actually surprised that I have not sourced in person. I mean, like New York, you know, we have like those pop-up markets where they have like the African festivals, things like that. I go to those too. And it's like, the beauty of New York is that I can do that in New York, you know, and these things come from, you know, all over the world. So I do go to those and I'll buy in bulk at those whenever they have those festivals. But for the most part, it's all online, all my sourcing.
Okay. So when you travel yourself, do you purchase jewelry also, or do you just make all your jewelry? Tell to me about that.
Yeah. In certain countries, I just really admire, like, it could be like the beadwork or the gold. In certain countries, like there's like, I know like Colombia, they have like beautiful gold, I feel like in Colombia. So I just like jewelry. you know, and I always want to get like pieces from different places, just as like, you know, how people collect certain things when they go to different countries. I wouldn't say that jewelry is my thing, but I do look for, I like to go to like local markets and like shop jewelry from there too. So I definitely do buy jewelry from other countries. Yes, I wear my own, but I appreciate jewelry in general. So I will go and buy jewelry in other places.
Have you found a place that you said you find it to be?
I find it to be fun, just going out and experiencing different types of jewelry in other places. It's just like fun to see the different art forms.
I also think that when you have a thing that you know you enjoy seeing in other places, it can also take the stress out of having to find the right thing to bring home. I don't know what it is, but it was maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, I just had like a shift from wanting like stuff to like stuff that I knew like I would use again or that would be intentional, right? So I tried to, while I'm at home, find like little things that like I know that I need to replace or that I know I need to get, like oven mitts, right?
Oven mitts.
And then I'm just like, okay, well, instead of buying a t-shirt from everywhere that you like for a year, 2 years, and then you're looking at the shirt like, all right, that's not even a cute shirt, honestly. It just is, you like it because it said, you know, Guadalupe or something on it. And now you're looking back at it and it's like, oh, I'm not going to wear this again. I try to get shit around the house that I'm actually going to use. Like I got oven mitts on one of our recent trips, or dish towels. I remember dish towels. I went to Bermuda. That was the first time I left the country. And the lady had out of, what do you call it? Out of season. Like I had gone in January, let's say, I think it was like 2007, and she had like January 2008 on there, or some the prior year, like shit from whatever last year's was. And I was just, well, everybody's getting a dish towel from last year though, but it says Bermuda, so everybody's getting one of those. So I try to buy like little things that I know people are going to use, and it makes me think that I will always have a small little hole in my heart. The first time I actually bought myself jewelry, like big girl jewelry, like real jewelry, I'd never owned, sorry ma, I'm gonna take that back, because yes, I remember those red gold little kid earrings, but as like an adult, I didn't own any real jewelry except for like a pair of earrings that like an ex bought. So in Thailand, I was very intentional about choosing. I got a set of pearls. All my pink and green ladies, stand up. So I had a real ass set of pearls. I bought a pair of peridot earrings, and they had a matching ring, because I felt like, you know, a ring and earrings was far enough apart, so they'll match. Yeah. It's cute, but it's not like neck ear. And I'm just like, ooh, I'm not going to feel like my grandma. So this is cute. And girl, when I tell you, the first time I wore those earrings, I lost one. An earring.
I hate losing jewelry.
And I only lose jewelry that I like. That's the problem. Because if I were to lose whatever I got in my ears now, it was for Forever 21. Not a big deal. I probably got like 6 in a pack for $5. Not stressing it. But all of the jewelry that I have ever like really liked in my life, I have always lost just one. And it's always been earrings. Other than that, I don't lose jewelry. Great grandmother's earrings, I lost one. And I remember where I was when I lost that too. Same, my dad bought me a beautiful pair of earrings 1 year. Gone. But anyway, so jewelry. Thailand was, for me, the place where I found really, really nice jewelry. And then I think I'd gotten Qatar. Qatar, I ended up getting, it has since turned. So don't know how, if that's a me thing, if I just wasn't taking care of it, or if it just wasn't of the quality. That's a good question to ask you then. When your jewelry turns, what is that indicative of? Does it matter the type of jewelry it is? Is it your personal wear and tear on it, like you're not maintaining it properly, or is it that this isn't real, or it's poor quality, perhaps?
It could actually be all of the above. So it depends on the metal. Also, body chemistry oxidizes certain metals, and then if it's poor quality, you know, it's going to turn.
Yeah.
So it's actually all of the above.
Okay.
So gold jewelry can turn, but it can be restored. So it's not like, oh, okay, it's trash now because it turned, you know. Brass can turn, but it's more of like oxidation. And a lot of times that's body chemistry. That too can be cleaned up and restored. And then when you go to like gold plated jewelry now, it's a plating on top of a metal that doesn't last as long as pure gold. Once that comes off, it has to be replated. There's no like, oh, I could clean it or polish it. No, it has to be completely replated or you just replace it. So it depends on so many different factors why your piece of jewelry could turn.
Yeah, I'm butthurt over it because them rings were so cute. I'm going to try to clean them. They're silver. The silver, can you restore silver?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yes.
Okay. What about white gold? Because I don't know what they are. I'm thinking they're silver because I can't envision me having white gold money.
Yeah, white gold could be cleaned too. I would say take it to like a jewelry repair. But silver for sure can be cleaned up. You can do that right at home, silver. Yeah.
Now, what if I treat it like silver, but it actually wasn't silver? Is that a problem?
You know what? It could be. I've actually never tried cleaning white gold. I would say take it to a jewelry repair. I've tried all the others, silver, gold, but I have not tried white gold. So I would say try or Google. Google or take it straight to a jewelry repair.
True.
Yeah, Google has girl, everything's on there.
Because when I tell you that silver, I'm pretty sure it's silver because it's like gray at this point. It's like black. Like it has completely like changed colors. Uh-huh. So I'm going to try getting some of the silver cleaner. And if it's not real silver and it's fake silver is a thing, it's got to be, right?
Yeah. Like I think like an alloy or something.
Okay.
Yeah, or even
if
nickel or something,
if you try to clean that, nothing, like it's not going to like turn the cleaning water or nothing, like it's just the piece won't come back clean if there's something silver.
It won't do anything. Yeah, if it's not silver, it won't do anything. It might either get worse or it just won't even bring back that silver shine. It won't do anything.
Okay, so I'll be the test dummy. I'm just going to get some silver cleaner because I got a couple of necklaces that are more sentimental than anything, like gifts that people have gotten me, you know? And it's kind of like, oh, this was so cute. I was going to wear one today. And then I'm just like, girl, don't put that on. Like, you got to clean it first. Don't, you're a little too old to be walking around looking like that. Don't do that. Don't do that. So I'm gonna try it and I'll report back on that one. So what if, though, or how should we kind of like go into traveling with our jewelry, like front of mind, right? Like, should we be swimming in all metals? Should we be doing, you mentioned like body chemistry, right? So am I doing rock climbing in my wedding band, or am I doing, I don't have a wedding band, y'all. No. It's because I know somebody's going to say something to me. It's just the first thing that came to mind. Oh, yes. It's coming. But should we not be doing certain things with certain metals? Should we not? Because, like I had mentioned before, certain places, they're going to tell you, don't wear your expensive jewelry, right? But some people are either going to take or leave that information. It is what it is. So your personal safety aside, if you're wearing earrings, like, what am I not swimming with? I personally won't swim with, like, large earrings, like with hoops or anything, just because I don't want to lose them in the water. But I always also wonder about certain studs, like in salt water, like affecting my ear. Am I being ridiculous, or should I like continue to be more cautious, if you will, about what I'm wearing?
No, you're absolutely right. You're not being ridiculous. I would say the most durable would probably be gold that you can get wet, but then it's still like a fine line. Because of salt water, chlorine, and all those things. I would just say, to be on the safe side, I would not work out, do anything strenuous, or go in water with any jewelry. But yes, there's gold jewelry that you can definitely take showers in, because that's just water, you know? Yeah. That's totally fine. But if you're going to do this, or jewelry that has natural gemstones, just take it off. Just take it off. Because salt water or chlorine... those gemstones, it'll ruin them. And then your body chemistry again, sweat, all those things. Like I've had, so a lot of the necklaces that I make are gold plated, and gold plated is fine for longer wear but over time. So like I noticed a certain, cause I like to layer a lot in the summer and I'm sweating and all that. And I notice after a while they do turn, and that's from the sweat, and you can't really avoid that if you're wearing things in the summer, but it's just something that happens.
Right.
But yeah, I would definitely say like, if you're going in water, I would just remove things. And like you said, like larger earrings, cause you don't want to lose them. But if you have like all gold and there's studs, that's perfectly fine. I don't think that that's an issue.
Okay.
But I would stay away from like the salt water, the chlorine. If you're in a spa, definitely remove all your jewelry.
Right. You know?
And a lot of people like to sleep in their jewelry, which is fine depending on what it is. But it's, you have to just be conscious of just like how many jewelry pieces you're wearing at once while you're sleeping. Like some people sleep in their earrings, their necklaces, their rings. It really depends. It depends on what it's made from, or depends on how large they are. I mean, your hands might swell up in your sleep. So that's another thing with the rings.
Right.
Yeah. But I, to be on the safe side, depending on what the material is, I would just remove everything. But I know like for me personally, I know like when I go to the beach, I want to have, you know, accessories like my little, you know, necklace and all those things. And
you got to complete the look.
Yeah, you got to. Because, you know, you got to take your selfies and all that, your content and all
that,
you know. Yeah, but just remove them before you go in the water.
Okay.
Yeah.
I also will always go for something that I don't mind. If the way my rule is, if I could throw it out, it's safe to go in the water. So it's like my little Forever 21, the H&M throwaway earrings, the stuff you don't really, the Amazon purchases.
Yep.
If it's
true.
Buy another one. You know what I mean? It's still, I got the link in the cart. I could go to past orders. It's there, you know? The real stuff? Absolutely not.
And then and it's suitable, I wouldn't even take the risk because you go into the water and what if you lose it? You know, it's not about it getting ruined. Like, what if you lose it?
And then you got to either spend the money or not have it again.
Right.
Yeah. I don't want to be that person.
I'm with you.
And then you did it to yourself.
Yeah.
And that, I think that knowing that it was like, you're the big adult, you're the one in charge here, and you could have known better. You should have known better, but you didn't do better. And that for me is where it's just like, oh, now I'm butthurt over it because it's my own fault. So what about the stud? If I'm buying a pair of, say, earrings, I am not going to assume that the post is, or that the backs are even, or am I, or are, is that generally included in the, like the metal description of the piece that I'm buying?
Oh, so sometimes the post is a different material.
Okay.
So certain sites will actually put all of that in there in the description. They should put in the description because people have like different allergies. Unless the overall earring has the same exact metal throughout. But sometimes the post could be like, so I've seen jewelry where the actual jewelry is gold, but then the post is silver, and it's like sterling silver, like real silver. So I've seen that. So sometimes the post can be different material. Yeah.
Okay. So that's something that I, when I think about throwaway stuff, what happens if like do people's skin still turn? Like that's something I'd always heard, like, oh, my fingers are green or something like that. And it's never like, I don't think it's ever happened to me, at least not that I can remember. But how does that happen? Is that because, I mean, generally we always just say, oh, because your shit is cheap, or your shit is fake. But we was 12. I know no better. Were we right?
Yeah, so that does happen to some people. It's not always because the jewelry is cheap. So I have some customers that are very sensitive and they can only wear gold. Or if they're going to wear something that's not gold, like the post, like we talked about, has to be gold or silver because they have an allergy. So some people, like, even if they, you know, they're just really, really sensitive. So they can, or even like a rash, they could break out on a rash, or their, you know, their skin turns or whatever. But it's not necessarily because the jewelry is fake or just low quality. Sometimes it's their body reaction. So, you know, it, yeah, it can be poor quality and that's why that happened. But I've seen some people where they could only wear all golds or even like a certain type of carat gold because they're so sensitive. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. My grandma could only do gold. It, yeah. Otherwise, she just, it don't make sense to buy her jewelry because she's yeah. very particular about it. As soon as you said that, I reminded me of that. So where would you say are some better known places for people to purchase jewelry, right? Like, are there certain regions or areas that are known for their gold? Are there certain areas or regions that are known for their gemstones? Like, if you want to buy your birthstone, like, where should we buy our birthstone? Or price-wise, who's got really cheap gold? If you wanted to get, you know, the engagement ring for someone. Where, pray tell, would you pseudo plan it like, oh, this is just a trip for wherever, and then like purchase someone an engagement ring while there? Where, what regions are, to your knowledge, like really well known for different reasons for jewelry?
Okay, so I feel like everything in the United States is expensive. Unfortunately, it is. I know that a lot of brands like to really have their things made in the USA, and I understand, but everything here is very expensive. So if you can, I see a lot of gemstones in India that are reasonably priced, but it's like, I mean, who could just like jump to India? But I'm saying, you know, like I've seen that, you know, personally, when I researched, like a lot of really reasonably priced gemstones are in India. Thailand makes good jewelry because I remember you mentioned that they do. They actually make really good jewelry and expensive as well. Yeah, I see nice gold. I mentioned Colombia. Guyana has really nice gold too. Okay. Where else? I would say, I'm trying to think. Oh, and then if you want to get like, if you're into like beaded, like really nice beaded handmade stuff, Latin America. They do amazing work. And also Kenya does amazing bead work too. Mm. So it really depends on what you're looking for. But I just feel like everything in the USA is just so expensive. So when I travel, like, yes, I will go and look at their jewelry because like, I'm not going to find things that are that unique and really well made like that in the US, you know, for a reasonable price. Yeah.
What about declaring jewelry that you purchase or like traveling with purchases of like substantial amount, if you will, or what may be perceived as substantial amount? What are your, because I know what my suggestion is. My suggestion is just wear it. Like, how you going to tell me when I got this? You know, like, what are we doing? Right. I came with money, bro. Like, I've been to Thailand before. Don't check this passport. But, you know what I mean? Like, I've had this $5,000 watch. Why would I declare it? You know what I mean? Speaking of 5,000 watch into existence. However, is that something that people should consider because you buy pieces abroad or you buy yourself a necklace or a ring, whatever it is you're buying, how do you suggest getting it back?
Wearing it is actually a really good idea, not only because of what you mentioned, but because of loss. If you have it in your body, there's a 0.1% chance you're going to lose.
Unless you're that person, then by all means, that's a you thing. You know what I mean? Like, you're probably losing something else also.
Yes. But if you are purchasing something that's like, you know, when you declare it, it tells you the amount, you know, if it's over that, you declare it. You know, it depends on how much, because some things you can get away with, like I said, wearing it, or even if you pack it or whatever, it depends. But if it's really like a substantial amount, to be on the safe side, I would declare it. But you can get away with packing certain things if you do it, if you pack it a certain type of way so that it looks like it's yours.
Right.
Yeah. But if it's a really like a high value and it's like an obnoxious amount, I would declare it, but I'm with you. I wear it because it's not like I'm going to be buying like, you know, 10 necklaces and I'm wearing 10, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're not going to be doing that. So I'd wear it.
Right. I'm not, you know, stocking a small business. You know what I mean? So I'm not coming home with like six boxes of jewelry. I know that I'm I might be talking hot shit right now. So if you edit this and you hear it, love you. So boyfriend received a gorgeous, gorgeous, beautiful gift. He, what do you call it? When you officiate, he officiated his best friend's wedding in Mexico. And, okay. Mark and Nicole gifted, the guys watches, gorgeous, gorgeous watches. And I don't remember if he wore it home or if he put it in the box. And I'm certain that if I knew he had it in the box, I would have told him to put it on. But he's a grown man. Do what the fuck you want to do. It's not mine.
Right.
You do and move how you want. But I personally would have said to wear the watch. But then it's like, if you've got the empty watch box, I could see how that might look crazy. You know what I mean? Because like, no, you don't want to throw the box away to come back home. But like then you could just say, well, I don't sleep in it. I wanted to have something to put it in when I brought it home. So,
right. That's what I was going to say. It's a way of storing it. So it's not, I don't think that that's a big deal. People store their things still in the box like that. So yeah, I wouldn't think that that's a big deal. Yeah.
Okay. So what is something that you think that people don't really know about jewelry that would kind of help and go further in their personal experience of jewelry, or even if it's not even like it ain't going to help, but this is something that you don't necessarily know that you should know?
Yeah, I think that a lot of people don't realize that the storage, like how you store your jewelry, is really important to maintain and keep the shelf life of your jewelry. So I created this like a travel pouch. Like if you travel with like a lot of jewelry, it's like a pouch with like different compartments that you could just put your stuff in and just like fold it up and put it like in your carry-on. So did this survey. I was asking people like, how do you currently store your jewelry, or how do you travel with your jewelry? And the answers were making me cringe. I know that not everyone is going to, you know, do exactly what they're supposed to do. Like, how are you just, like, people were literally saying that they would just put their stuff in a, like, all in one plastic bag. I was just like, no way.
I travel with my jewelry in a sunglass case. Case that's, and go with God. Good luck. That was my best at the moment.
So I'm like, okay. I've had days like that too, way back. And then I realized it's like, I get to my destination and everything is tangled up. And I'm like, you're doing all of this before you going out to dinner. And it's just no.
Your hands is oily because, of course, you waited. And so after you oiled up, because you thought, let me just put, no. And so now you got to wash your hands like 4 times, get all your shea butter and the oil and the coconut oil off. And now you're undangling everything. And people are wondering, we have reservations. What are we doing? Don't be like me.
Yes.
So yeah, I lived it so you don't have to.
Of how to store your jewelry, especially if you're traveling with it, so that when you arrive to your destination, you can just quickly pull your things out and they're ready to go. They're not tangled, nothing's broken. You didn't lose one of the earrings. Yes. So I would suggest if you don't find like a travel pouch to have, like there's literally different compartments. You can like hang your necklaces. There's a place for your rings. There's bracelets. If you don't have something like that, you can actually, a very cheap version is getting small Ziploc bags and individually placing things in their own bag. So like one pair of earrings goes in its own bag. You could put a few bangles, maybe I would say up to 3 or 4 in one Ziploc bag, just little Ziplocs, but things should be individual so that they're not rubbing on each other, because that's another way for things to get ruined is when the metals rub against each other. So it's rubbing because it can scratch, especially if you have gemstones, that too, the tangling, you know, things should always be individually packed. So that's the most economical, cheap, efficient way is small Ziploc bags like that. And, but then it's like, if you travel with a lot of jewelry like me, because I need to bring the whole thing. that could become kind of, I just need to have options. That could become kind of annoying.
I won't think about it now. I'll think about it later.
Yeah, you know.
Also, yeah. I don't necessarily know how I'm going to feel when I get there. I may not really like be in the mood for Thank this. You. Or if I realize, oh, it's mad sunny out here. I don't want like hoop shadows in my tan mm-hmm. or something. Or I don't want anything else touching me. I'm already hot and yeah. the people here are weirding me out. I need something small. You know what I mean? Oh, so it's got to be there. Or how do you change your mind if you don't have it?
Yes, I'm definitely like a moody when it comes to like what I wear and jewelry. It's like it's a mood. How do I feel when I wake up today? I'm gonna go big, don't mm-hmm. want to go small, don't want to layer. So I have to have all my options with me. I can't just bring like, you know, two pairs of earrings and that's it for my vacation. No way.
Earrings aren't shoes. Earrings aren't shoes. I get maybe condensing to like right. two pairs of shoes. That I can mm-hmm. do. But then also it's like, if I'm overpacking my clothes, what if I choose a different outfit and then I don't have the socks that are supposed to go with it?
Right.
Or the earrings that go with this. Or even right. I'm always in a dad hat. What if I don't bring the right hat? So you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just, if you're going to overpack your clothes, you got to overpack everything else because yep. balance. You're going to be pissed yeah. anyway, so might as well have it all. I mean, one way to economically do, like when I do like extra step with my inefficient, mm-hmm. cheap, and somewhat efficient packing, straws.
Oh, with
I the don't necessary. Necessarily keep straws in the house. Yep. But yeah. every once in a while, if I remember that I'm actually going to be going someplace, I will keep a straw from like if we order Chinese or something, or if we order something that comes with a drink. The straw, just thread your necklace through the straw yeah. and close it. And so the straw yeah. will keep your necklace from tangling around things. But then you also need to have something to put the straw in. I personally have a huge, toiletry bag, mm-hmm. just because the same way I feel about my clothes, I feel about my toiletries. You know what I mean? I need a little something for everything. So the yeah. side has a flap down where you can like put your toothbrush. Wow, your toothbrush, your razor, and all that kind of stuff. So then I'll just slide the straw or two with the necklaces in there as well. So that's another fun one. And you could also put that in the Ziploc bag so that you don't yeah. have anything spill on it that might turn, especially if you have it in your toiletry bag. You don't want like shower gel sitting or like oil. If you've got,
yeah.
I know a lot of the girls do a lot of the skincare that has a bunch of different steps. I don't know what retinol does to gold. I don't know what hyaluronic acid does to silver. You know what I mean? So let's not find out that way. If you want to do a little test kit in the crib, different story. But like, you know, for the out and about and it's got to go with the fit, let's not find out mm-hmm. that way.
Yep.
So come on, where can the people find you? How can we support you? Where do we find more of you and your gems?
So the site again is 84gem.com. And Instagram at 84gem. Facebook is also 84gem. And that's it. I'm not on the Twitters. Not.
And I love Twitter. You know why? Because you don't have to do anything.
I know.
You don't have to do anything. But then, yeah. like, it's counterproductive because it's like you are there to do something. Like, it's, and that's the thing. Sadly, we were having this conversation earlier this morning. Like social media used to be so much fun because it was just a thing. It was just something you did with your friends. Like, what a time to be alive. I'm so happy to yeah. be of that generation that got to see what it was and yeah. then also see what it is now. While it is still fun and it's effective in a lot of different ways, it's great for what it's great for. It is mm-hmm. a lot more stressful now as someone that should be creating content. It's like, I don't really feel like I could just like, hey y'all, we went to the movies, or hey y'all, here's us. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you have to have like three different accounts or four different accounts to kind of, you know, separate yeah. all the different things or aspects of your life, your personal life from your work life, from your creative life, and all those other kind of things. But
yeah, I agree media, with you Twitter, about social. Like it. Yeah, it's gotten just, it's overwhelming at times too.
The social it media. Is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I like to just watch people in their mess. And for me, mm-hmm. it is a practice in, guess what? Oh, this isn't for me. I find uh-huh. myself getting worked up over something, or I'll be in the comments and it's just like, oop, guess what? This is something you can control in life. I love executing that little bit of control where it's just like I find myself getting worked up or getting excited and it's just, why?
Right.
People are mad. This has nothing to do with you. You know what I mean? This is somebody or arguing on the side of the road going the opposite way. Once you get around the people bottlenecking, not your problem. That's not me, baby. Like, I'm not.
Exactly.
And that's how I feel about the socials.
Yeah.
Tap in and tap out. True. That was a little gem. Y'all ain't even know you need it, but you got it. Would you like to leave the people with a last gem?
Ooh, a last gem. I would say a last gem. Okay, this is it's also a tip too. So it's when you're getting ready, getting dressed and you're putting on your jewelry should always be, when you're putting on your clothing and then your oils and all those things, your jewelry should always be the thing that you put on. And when you get back, the first thing that you take off. So you don't want to have your jewelry.
I'm doing
on.
It right.
Yes, you don't want to have your jewelry on and then you're spraying yourself down and then, because then you're
feeling.
No. So you do all your little body oils and your skincare routine and your perfume and then you put your jewelry on.
And it is the first, I'd say it's either the second or the third because my shoes always come off first, but it's always I come in the house and I will take everything off. Take my house, outside clothes, house clothes, whole different set of clothes, different worlds. So all of that comes off and the jewelry comes off with it. It holds all of the energy of all of the day. Here you go. Recharge your little box with your other little jewelry friends. We'll talk tomorrow. And then we have another. And then the night goes on.
Yes, that's
good. Come on. Thank you so much. Thank you. Shit, I am too, girl. Thank you so much for joining me today. I had a great time chatting with you. And I hope you guys enjoyed this conversation. Hop over to the internet because you're probably on the internet anyway. Your phone is playing someplace. The episode is wrapping up. And so while you're about to go on to the next thing, check out 84gem.com. Get you something cute.
Thank you so much, Dee. Bye.